How should we respond when atheists claim that Christians are atheists with regard to every other god except for one? They just take it one step further. Well, stay tuned to find out on Unapologetic. There's a popular argument, or at least assertion, that atheists like to make, and it goes something like this. Well, Christians are actually atheists with respect to every other god except for one. So for every possible god out there, Christians are atheists for that god, except for one. And the atheist is basically saying, we're not so different. We actually just take it one step further. And the person might say, well, you don't believe in Zeus. I don't believe in Zeus. You don't believe in Ra, the Egyptian sun god. I don't believe in Ra. See, we basically are kind of the same. It's just you have one more god you need to get rid of to actually see things the right way. At least that's how the claim goes. And the question is, how should we respond to this? And I think there are kind of two broad things we can say. First, saying that Christians deny all other gods except for one, which is very close, at least numerically, and that point is important, to the atheist position doesn't actually mean that Christians are wrong. It could so happen, and I believe it certainly is the case, that none of these other supposed gods exist. However, the one God of Christianity does exist. So we can't just make a numerical argument, actually, to say that Christians are almost atheists. That's not true. Okay, just because there is the difference in one God between them doesn't mean they're basically the same thing. So Hinduism might have millions of gods, Christianity has one God, and atheism has zero gods, at least in the belief system. And so the thinking is that, well, Christians are really close to atheists, at least on this continuum of number of gods. And purely from a numeric standpoint, that's true. But they're not actually close at all. The Christian is no closer to the atheist than he is to the Hindu. And the Hindu is no closer to the Christian than he is to the atheist. And we'll tease this apart in a minute. So I just first off want to make the point that simply saying there's only one God different between the two doesn't mean Christians are incorrect. Christians are theists. We believe there is one God. These worldviews are incredibly different. And they're not just different in degree, they're actually fundamentally different. And so let's talk about that some. When the atheist brings up all of these other gods throughout history, like I mentioned Zeus and Ra, and the list could go on and on and on, there's something fundamentally different between these supposed gods and the God of Christianity, and how people related to these gods and thought of them, and how they think of and have written of and conceive of the God of Christianity. The first difference is that these ancient gods of, let's say, Greek mythology or Egyptian religion, they're almost more faddish in how people approach them. Like, they didn't totally take them seriously. Now, this varies by culture and this varies by time, but nonetheless, especially in like Greek and Roman civilizations, you would kind of tip your hat to the gods. You might acknowledge them, you might go through some rituals, but they weren't affirmed as nearly important as the God of Christianity was. It's also just interesting as an aside that Christians were actually considered to be atheists in the first century and second century because the Romans just couldn't conceive of people who denied all of their gods and only worshipped one. So they were basically seen as God deniers. They didn't totally understand Christianity back then. But I think this actually points out something interesting, which is the Christian belief in one God was so fundamentally different from the polytheism and kind of nominal polytheism that was in Roman culture and Greek culture and things like that, that the culture struggled to understand Christianity. They didn't have a category for it. It's not that it was simply less gods, it's that it was actually fundamentally different. And some of these gods throughout history that people would worship or tip their hat to or acknowledge or offer a sacrifice to might be like a god of rain or sun or of crops or of war or fertility. And the gods actually are a fundamentally different type of god because often in these mythological accounts, the gods would have the same type of struggles that humans had. They weren't that different. They didn't get along with each other. They had parental problems. They had fights between them. They had their authority challenged and they were overthrown and all of these sorts of things. They're fundamentally different types of gods. And so the atheist, when he makes the claim that Christians are atheists with regard to all of these other gods except for one, yes, we're using the word God there, but the word isn't functioning in the same way. We're comparing fundamentally different types of gods with the one God of Christianity. And I think that's really important. It is not an apples to apples type of comparison. And here is what is totally different about the Christian worldview. In fact, the theistic worldview that says there is one God compared to the polytheistic worldview of Hinduism or the worldview of ancient Greek mythology or things like that. On the Christian worldview, God is what we would call a necessary being. He cannot not exist. It is not possible for God not to have existed, or we would not exist. In fact, there's no possible way for us to exist if God does not exist. God is necessary for everything we see, for all that is and exists and that we know of and we don't know of, and all of those types of things. God is necessary for that. And that's totally different from how these other gods existed. They weren't necessary beings. They were what you would call contingent beings. They depended on something else. You know how if you make a plan for a party, let's say it's going to be outside, and I live in Florida, so if you make plans in the summer, you need to have contingency plans. These are plans that depend on something else going a certain way. They're dependent on something else. Well, in the same way, you and I are what we would call contingent beings. We depend on something else for our existence. But God is not a dependent being. He's not a contingent type of being. He's a necessary being. Nothing can exist if God does not exist. In fact, for anything to exist, God must exist. So I could exist or not exist, and the world would be pretty much the same. That is not the case with God. That's not the case with a necessary type of being. If that being doesn't exist, nothing else exists necessarily. So, why do I say God is a necessary being? Why is it necessary that God exists for everything else to exist? Well, this is exactly what Paul is getting at in Colossians 1, when he says, "For by Jesus all things were created, both in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and all things hold together in him." There's so much there. Let's briefly tease this apart and kind of go in order. He says that all things were created, both in heaven and earth, by Jesus. So Jesus actually created everything. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth, they were created by Jesus, which is kind of an awesome thought when you think about it. Jesus's first act in the Bible is not seen in the Gospels. It's seen in the very first chapter of the very first book of the Bible. Jesus created everything. And so these gods in ancient mythology weren't the type of necessary being that God is in Christianity, because they were created oftentimes. They had parents who created them in time oftentimes. But the God in Christianity is not that way. He is eternal. He exists in and of himself. He is not created. There's never been a time when he did not exist. And he brought everything else into existence. When there was nothing, he created everything. Everything depends on him. Paul actually begins his argument here saying that Jesus created everything. So we owe our existence on the fact that God created us, that Jesus created us. These other gods and ancient religions don't fulfill that same type of necessary being requirement. They can't explain why everything is here. But Paul continues. He says, "All things, visible and invisible, thrones or dominions, rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him." And I think this speaks to the fact that as Christians, we often find peace in the idea that we've been created for God, that there is a sense of purpose that we find there that resonates at the core of who we are, that we're created to be loved by our Creator and to love him back and worship him. So Christianity actually satisfies one of the deep desires that many people have, because it actually acknowledges and teaches that we were created for a purpose. It tells us what that purpose is and equips us to fulfill that purpose. But more than that, it's interesting that Paul says in verse 17 here that Jesus is before all things, and in him all things hold together. It's not just that, as Thomas Jefferson and some of the founding fathers thought, God created the world and then stepped back and left it alone. He wound up the clock, so to speak, and then was hands off. And it's basically a naturalistic, materialistic game of pool after that, billiards, where balls are just bouncing off of each other in some type of pre-programmed way. No, that's not what creation is. At every point, God is sustaining his creation. If he withdrew his sustaining support, everything would cease to exist. And now maybe you're starting to understand what I was saying earlier about how God is a necessary being. If he doesn't sustain creation, it doesn't continue to exist. The very fact that I can sit here and talk to you and have breath in my lungs is because God chooses to sustain my existence. And this is what the writer of the Hebrews says in Hebrews chapter 1, that the Son is the radiance of the Father's glory and the representation of his essence, and he sustains all things by his powerful word. God is actively involved in creation. We see this in the Bible so many times, that God enters into creation, does miraculous things, shows and speaks of who he is and things like that. But more than that, we're kind of told a little what's going on behind the scenes here, that he's actually sustaining the world in its very existence. So there's not a molecule that is out of place in the whole universe. There's nothing that is not where God wants it to be or how he wants it to be for his ultimate purposes. Now, I think we have to be careful when we say something like that, because the question might come, well, what about evil? Is evil what God wants? And that's a really complicated question. And sadly, we don't have time to get into that today, but I will insert a link in the show notes or in the podcast transcript to where we tease that out a little and talk about how God has two wills, and that God wills things that will be good for him to accomplish, but are bad for man to do. And I know that sounds kind of odd, but in order to be faithful to the totality of what Scripture says, we actually have to arrive at a view like that. And sadly, we don't have time to dive into that today. But I think it's sufficient to point out, just clearly as Paul and the writer of the Hebrews say, that God created everything, he's necessary. The Christian worldview affirms that everything came from nothing with a cause. The non-Christian worldview, that atheistic worldview we started out talking about, it says that everything came from nothing with no cause for no purpose. That makes much less sense than the Christian worldview. So when the atheist gets rid of God, when he says, hey, Christian, just be an atheist with regard to one more God, he actually gets rid of the solution to so many of his problems. He can now no longer explain why he is here. He can now no longer explain why the universe is here. He can't actually explain where morality comes from anymore if he gets rid of God. If there's no God, if there's no moral lawgiver, there's no moral law. So there's no morality if God doesn't exist either. And we've talked about that a little before. But I hope what you're starting to see is that these descriptions of what God is that Scripture actually tells us, they paint a fundamentally different picture than these ancient gods and mythological accounts. We're not comparing apples and apples here. And in fact, like I mentioned, when the atheist gets rid of God, when he says, well, you're so numerically close, it's just one less God, he gets rid of the very thing that makes so much more sense out of the world. And he's left having to affirm kind of silly things, honestly, that everything came from nothing with no purpose, that he has things he knows so intimately in his soul, like the fact that rape is wrong and genocide is wrong and the alt-right should be condemned, but he can't explain why. And in fact, if he's consistent, he actually has to say, those things aren't really wrong, I just don't like them. But the Christian worldview makes sense of the fact that racism is wrong. It makes sense of the fact that we're here. It makes sense of the fact that the world is knowable and that we can actually use reason to analyze the world around us because it's consistent, because it's sustained by a consistent God. And this could go on and on. What I want to convey to you is that the difference between atheism and Christianity is not just numerically one. It's not that they're that close. They could not be more different. And the Christian worldview of one God compared to a polytheistic worldview of many gods could not be more different either. They're as far away from each other as the Christian worldview is from the atheistic worldview. And in fact, in some ways, Christians have more in common with the God of Islam than we do the God of Mormonism. The God of Islam is one God. Christians believe there is one God. In Mormonism, there are many gods. And in fact, people could become gods one day. The God of in Mormonism, the Father in Mormonism, used to be a man. So our conception of God between Christians and Mormons is more different than our conception of God between Christians and Muslims. Now, yes, the Trinity is a very large dividing line, and I would say Muslims worship a different God than Christians, but nonetheless, just numerically, isn't the only way to look at things. We also have to consider what the God is that this religion teaches, or what the gods are if we're comparing a religion with multiple gods. So, we've talked about a lot. I hope it's been helpful. On the face of it, this objection doesn't actually prove anything. The atheist saying, well, I'm just an atheist with regards to one more God than you, that doesn't actually prove Christianity's wrong. But more than that, they're not comparing apples to apples. And finally, God is actually a necessary being. If we get rid of God from our worldview, we are left without any explanation for the things we are most sure of that we see in reality. Well, I'll talk with you next week on Unapologetic.